Welcome to Travel Itch Radio, the show that lets you scratch your lust for travel from the friendly confines of your home. I'm your host, Dan Schlossberg, and this is the 287th episode of Travel Itch Radio. Every Tuesday at 8 o'clock Eastern, we bring you exciting and often exotic guests from the world of travel, both foreign and domestic. We visit with hoteliers, airline executives, authors, photographers, publicists, and others in the travel world. And our special guest tonight is Mike Gallagher, founder and president of CityPass. Welcome to Travel Itch Radio, Mike.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you for making time, especially since you're on the road in San Diego. And for listeners who don't know, please tell us in your own words, what is CityPass? How does it work, and where can a smart traveler get one?
Well, if you're thinking about going to a major city in the United States, CityPass is meant for you, in particular if you're an international traveler, because it's a pass to the city, so we pick the things that people like to do most, in particular the locals, because if the locals love it, then tourists are going to love it too. So each city has specially curated based on what we think people like, and we know that because we know the numbers of people going to these places. So, I mean, like the Empire State Building in New York is... especially if it's your first time, everybody wants to do that.
Well, is it safe, Mike, to say that CityPass provides substantial discounts, sometimes even 2-for-1, to major attractions?
It does. It can be an up to a 50% discount depending on what you do. But the idea is to save money. But I'll tell you, nobody wants to save money to something they don't want to do. So what we make it important is these are all the things that you would recommend if you knew that city very well. And actually, you know them all, so you know exactly what they're in them.
How do you convince attractions to offer CityPass tickets?
Well, as a marketing person for attractions, and I ran my own attractions for many years, they want more visitors, and particularly they want more international visitors. So we do them, we pick the ones that should be in it, and we market those primarily overseas or everywhere for that matter. And so the attractions is just additional business for them. They don't pay us anything for that. It's something we do market them for being in CityPass.
Where did the idea come from for CityPass?
Well, like I said, I was in the attractions business for many years in Northern California and set off on my own. I wanted to create something different for visiting cities. I've obviously been to many of them. And there are other – in Europe they have these – things where you can pick 50 things and you go through it, but their model is they want people not to use these things. They want to have you buy more than you can eat. In our case, we don't include more than 4 or 5, sometimes 6, depending on the city, and we actually want you to use them. And so I'm as a marketing guy for an attraction, this is exactly what I wanted.
Oh, well, that's really good to hear. And how many destinations now are active in CityPass, and how do you choose which attractions to invite to be part of your program?
Well, last year was our 20th anniversary, and we have now 13 cities that are members of the CityPass program. And again, the way we pick them is just we know what's most popular. We also only pick things that are open year-round, that charge admission, that were no seat assignments, there's no sporting events or no things where you have to worry not being available. When you buy a city pass, it begins whenever you get to where you're going, and then it's good for usually 9 days. And so all those things will be available to you when you get there.
We're talking with Mike Gallagher of CityPass. Mike, we hear CityPass has new programs in Denver and San Francisco. Please share.
You bet. So Denver's our latest one, and it took us a little while. We were careful that we choose them. And as you know, we had IPW in Denver last week or so. And Denver is an amazing city. I was there 20 years ago, and they've really, really changed it in all the best ways. And so we launched the Denver City Pass just the other day, and it has the things that you want to see when you go to Denver. So I don't know if you want me to list those, but I can certainly tell you what they are.
Yeah, mention a few because, I was in Denver too, and I enjoyed it. And I want to see if we agree on what was great about Denver.
So in the case of Denver, we did a choose 3, 4, or 5. So, and you don't have to make that decision in advance. It's a city that you may only stay a couple days in, so maybe you only want to do 3 attractions. If you want to stay a week, it could get more. So what we put together is a curated list of 8 things. So it's the Denver Children's Museum. Obviously, you have young kids, you want to go there. Denver Art Museum, the Denver Botanic Garden, the Denver Museum of Science and Nature and Science, the Denver Zoo, the Downtown Aquarium, the History of Colorado Center, and the Wings Over the Rockies Air and Space Museum. So when you buy a City Pass, you actually get it on your iPhone, and you don't have to make any decisions until you get to the city, and then you say, well, okay, I want to do three of these, and you pick your three, and you'd go, or you want to do four or do five. That's a new concept for us, so to make it so it's much more easy for short-stay or long-stay visitors.
Well, I enjoyed that history museum very much. In fact, they had a baseball exhibit on the fourth floor, primarily about the Colorado Rockies, but also about the minor league baseball in Denver. So I really especially enjoyed that.
Yeah,
and what about
places.
San Francisco, Mike?
San Francisco was our first city. And San Francisco, we keep changing it to make it to what people actually want to do. And so in San Francisco, the attractions there is the Blue and Gold Fleet. Obviously, you want to take a bay cruise. If you do want to do Alcatraz, you have to pay extra for that, and you exchange your ticket for it. It has the Exploratorium, which you probably know moved to a new location.
Yes.
They spent $300 million on it. And it also has the cable cars, which is something we added later. So if you have a City Pass, you just show your City Pass, and you can get on any of the cable cars as much as you want. If you buy it yourself, it's $7 one way. And then also you can use those on Muni and travel anywhere you want to go in San Francisco. You don't need a car in San Francisco. You know that. You want to use the public transportation for sure.
Yeah, of all the cities I've been to, I think San Francisco has the best mass transit system.
It does. And we tell people, you know, you may not know where you're going, but just get on a Muni bus, show them your City Pass, and they'll tell you, Dan, you're on the wrong bus here, but stick with me for three blocks and get off on the F bus. And they're very friendly to travelers and really helpful for people to do it. And also, the California Academy of Sciences was completely rebuilt and reopened, and then we just added the Museum of Modern Art, which doubled in size, was closed for a period of time, and now it's an incredible art museum right in downtown San Francisco.
I think the idea about cable cars in Muni is really great because getting around is important to seeing anything. So and also, walking all those hills is not that much fun.
No, it's not. It's actually fun riding with the locals on the some colorful people there, and it's fun to be on the bus and go with them. And anywhere you get off, you can get on the next bus going to the next place. You can go out to the Golden Gate Bridge if you'd like.
And we should mention that along Market Street, they have antique streetcars from other cities running up and down Market Street in San Francisco. It's a great way to get around.
It is. You know your stuff, Dan. It is really, that's another one you just hop on or hop off, whatever you feel like.
And how do you decide, Mike, which destinations to include? In other words, how does City Pass work with Convention and Visitors Bureau, for example?
Well, Convention and Visitors Bureaus invite us to come in and consider them. And we probably wouldn't do it if this Convention and Visitors Bureau wasn't excited about it. So they tell us what they think, and then we create around what they do. Honestly, they're interested in selling hotel rooms, and that's their main job, whereas mine's attractions. And nobody that buys a City Pass, because it's almost always tourists, can get back to their bed that night. They have to stay in a hotel or a place. And so City Pass, when you buy a City Pass that's good for a week, the average length of stay for a City Pass user in New York City is 5.5 nights. So they like that.
Oh, for sure. Can you tell us which destinations are available now? We know San Francisco and Denver. What else?
Well, it's the New York. Well, so I'll do it from when we started. San Francisco was the first. Then we did Seattle. And then we ran to New York. And New York's obviously our busiest city. And then Boston and then Philadelphia. And then we added Houston, Dallas, Philadelphia, Seattle. Southern California now includes Disney and the parks around there, Tampa Bay. And the last one we added was Toronto in Canada, our only international city.
Oh, that's terrific. And I'm sure you'll be adding more in the future. I'm sure you're talking to various destinations.
We are. We just we're a family-owned and operated business, so it's just Mike and I and our two wives, and we move, carefully to do the right thing. It's not, it's not how big you are, it's how good you are. And so we look at destinations. We're looking at a bunch of them, and we try to add one or two each year.
Okay, the next question is a loaded question, kind of an obvious one, too. What's the benefit for travelers to use City Pass?
Well, when you travel to a city, especially if you've never been there before, you just want to do the things that people want to do most. And so when you have a city pass, you know that's what it is. And I'll tell you, if you have a couple kids with you, what you want to do is give them the city passes and then let them figure out which day they want to do which thing. And then you can just sit back and let them enjoy and create their own vacation. And so each one of the things in City Pass is famous. I mean, the American Museum of Natural History was started by Teddy Roosevelt in New York. The Met is probably the most famous art museum. By the way, it charges $25 for the Met. It's no longer a suggested admission. You probably knew that. Empire State Building, world-renowned Statue of Liberty. We also put the 911 Memorial Museum. The memorial's free. The museum is extra, and we share that with the Intrepid, because if you have little kids, you probably wouldn't want to take them to the Memorial Museum, but the Intrepid's fantastic for them.
Yeah, I've been to both, and that 911 Museum is pretty upsetting, to be honest with you. You can't spend too much time there.
I mean,
if you want to read everything, but it's just too upsetting.
The people that built it want you to remember what happened there, and they're certainly entitled to do that. But yeah, after being there for a couple hours, you're done. You want to go home for a nap, I think.
Yeah, for sure. Mike, I know the U.S. Travel Association, in which you're very involved, has done research on all different things. Based on their findings, what's holding people back? Why aren't they taking the vacation that they've earned?
Well, you know, it's interesting. We discovered that, and this is this project Time Off, is we found out that Americans take the least amount of vacation. And they leave, you know, weeks on the – this is earned vacation. And for whatever – well, there's lots of reasons. They just don't use it. So at the end of the year, they lose it. So we thought we should point that out and promote taking your vacation. So with Project Time Off, let me put it this way, Dan. If you ever met anybody at the end of their life, on their deathbed, say, you know, I wish I would have worked more. So
good point.
Yeah, so the point of it is this is to encourage people to take their paid time off. They earned it, and they should do it. And there's all kinds of reasons that it makes sense to do it. You work better. You certainly have a better relationship with your spouse and your family if you take your time off. We've learned one of the reasons people don't do it is they procrastinate and make deal setting a date. So we now have National Plan Your Vacation Day at the end of January, and we found is once you put your vacation on your calendar, you're way more likely to use it. And so you know, our goal is to help people just use their paid time. They've already earned it. So rather than an average of 16 days, they'll take it's we're trying to get it up higher than that. And it's working out. I mean, people realize, you know what, I should take more time, be with my family.
Okay, we're talking with Mike Gallagher about City Pass. And you're listening to Travel It's Radio with Dan Schlossberg. Call us at 914-338-0314. Find the archive show on blogtalkradio.com or check out Travel It's Radio on Facebook. We're also on iTunes. Mike, let's get into some of the specifics. I live in the Northeast. What can I find in the New York or Boston area, and how would I use it?
Well, so New York is the main famous things. As I already explained, it's the Empire State Building, it's the Statue of Liberty, 911 Memorial Museum, the Met, American Museum of Natural History, MoMA's in it. And then in Boston, it's a similar group of attractions. Normally, there's an observatory, and Boston has one, up at the top of the Prudential Center, the New England Aquarium, the Museum of Science, the Boston Harbor Cruise, which goes out and takes a look at the whales around the harbor there, and then it also includes the Harvard Museum of Natural History, which is a really amazing Indiana Jones kind of thing. Most people don't go there, and I think they're very surprised when they go there. It is part of Harvard, and it is a natural history museum, but it has things that Lewis and Clark used on their trip on display there.
I didn't know that either. That's someplace that I need to get to in Boston. In fact, I just came back from Boston. Let me ask you about Chicago, too, especially since there's so much to see there.
Chicago is an incredible city. I was born in Chicago, by the way. But it's the Shedd Aquarium is like none other. There are two tall buildings, the Skydeck Chicago, which is the old hand at Hancock, and then the Sears Tower is there, too. We shared the Skydeck with the Museum of Science and Industry, which is down the water. That is a way beyond world-class Museum of Science and Industry, but it's 20, 30 minutes away, and so if you don't have time, you could do the second tower. And so we kind of look at each city as far as that goes and make it easy for them. Adler Planetarium, the field, and the shed are all on the peninsula there. And then the Art Institute of Chicago is one of the best art museums in the world.
And personally speaking, I love the Museum of Science and Industry. I've been there a number of times, and I never get to Chicago without making sure I have time to see it again.
They have the submarine, only submarines ever captured during World War II, and they kept it under secret and took it up the Mississippi River. Now it's in a building on display. It's a real German submarine from World War II. Bullet holes along the side, the whole story of the seven guys that went in there to save it, and I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah, and they have a locomotive, too. I love trains.
And oh, yeah.
I love the train exhibit, too. So it's a cool place. Mike, you travel all over the world. What are some of your travel tips for taking the stress out of travel, especially when you're flying?
Well, I do fly a lot, and, you know, I used to kind of be just in time, but, you know, I learned there's no penalty for being early to an airline leaving. So I don't do that anymore. I take plenty of time in advance, maybe 3 or 4 hours, so I'm there well in advance before the flight leaves. I am traveling more first class these days, Dan, which is helpful. It takes a little stress out of it. But, no, I've been on Southwest a lot, many times, and any airline you can imagine. But I think getting there early is always a good thing to reduce stress.
I agree. I feel the same way you do. And since you travel so much, Mike, share your favorite vacation spots with our listeners.
Well, I've been to most of the cities, and certainly Paris and Rome and London, all of those are great. But I tell you, my family, they really like the warm weather. They kind of need a vacation for my vacations. And Hawaii, the Virgin Islands, I mean, a place where it's warm, wet water and sand and food and sun, and you're just laying around doing nothing, no TVs, and you're just together as a family having fun. And that is our favorite vacation now.
I can't blame you at all for that. How about, what are the favorite spots for business travel? What are some of the best convention cities?
Well, New York, obviously, would be number one for that. But any of the cities, any of the major cities we have for business travel, if you're doing business, that is great. There's so many ways to get around now, is with cars, with Ubers and the rest of it. That takes a lot of stress out of it. But I think just advanced planning that you're going. And then you want the restaurants reservations. But online, you can get everything you need. And all these places have, you know, 4-star restaurants for sure, some 5-star.
That's for sure. We're talking with Mike Gallagher about CityPass. Travel Itch radio listeners are always interested in the background of our guest, Mike. So please tell us where you were born, raised, and educated, how you got into the travel business, and why you started CityPass.
Well, I was born in Chicago when my mom and dad, and they decided, the mom didn't like Chicago, and my dad got a job in San Diego. So in 1959, my brother and I and our sister, we drove down Route 66 and settled in San Diego. And boy, was that a fun trip. That's where we really began to learn about travel. And then being in California, it's kind of a thing that you just do. So my kids all have traveled many places. I think it's really where, well, first of all, when you go away with your family or kids, it's just you guys. And so you can really have some fun together. And if you look at what's available at each place, just do that. But I think it brings families together in travel. Or I suppose if you're, could tear you apart if you don't get along. But for me, it's always been part of our life. And my kids, now they travel on their own, and it's something that it makes you feel, when you go home, you feel grateful that you're home, but it's just love when you go out and see these things that you'd never seen before.
How do our listeners find out more information about CityPass, and especially how and where to buy it? And also, please tell us the price and whether it changes in each city.
CityPass is available at any of the attractions you visit, so you don't have to get it in advance if you don't want to. When you get to the city, just go to the first place, American Museum of Natural History, and they sell it there. Most people do buy it in advance, though, and you go to citypass.com, and you can buy it there. There's no difference in price. The savings is the same. And then once you have it, you could have it on your phone, or you can print a voucher. But CityPass.com is the way to go well in advance. And then you have, you're secure that you have it. Remember, none of these things need a reservation. If you're going to go to Broadway, you want to make that separately. But it's CityPass are just things you can kind of be open and ready for you anytime you get there.
Okay. As an experienced traveler myself, I know that there are a lot of hassles involved with travel. Have you had some that are worth talking about or mentioning?
You know, I am done with when you go to the airport and your flight's on time and you land in San Francisco and there's no gate available. That is irritating.
Oh.
So you're, you know, and the problem is we need to make our airports bigger and better. And so the, you know, there's a passenger's facilities fee. We pay $4.50. Everybody does. Hasn't been raised in 20 years. And I think we'd ought to. I think the airports need to expand. All of us want to travel more, and it's more and more. So making it easier to travel with the airlines is the best way to go, and expanding the airline routes is important. And it's being held up, and it shouldn't be.
Well, I like what Victor Borge once said. He said we should fly to the airport and take a taxi between cities.
You know, that's a shame, but sometimes you're right. I mean, it's just, you can... Being prepared and going in advance is great, but, out of the top 25 airports in the world, and you know this, Dan, there's not a one of them that's in the United States.
Wow.
Yeah.
We need some work on that.
We need to do that, and that's what the U.S. Travel Association does, by the way. We're promoting more travel and better travel for everybody.
Well, Mike, it's very funny. I asked you about hassles. Personally speaking, I've encountered every kind of weather phenomenon or natural disaster while trying to fly, including a four-hour fog out in Phoenix.
Oh. Yeah, you need a better airport to hang out. If you're going to be there for 4 hours, wouldn't it be great to have a really, really great airport?
It sure would. It definitely would. But the only thing I'm missing is a volcano, so I guess I could go to Hawaii and find it there right now.
I guess that's right. Hey, I'd like to see a volcano, but I'm not sure I want to get all that close to it. I did go to Volcano National Park in Hawaii a bunch of years ago, and that is a fascinating thing to watch lava go into the ocean. But not what's going on now, and I feel sorry for those four folks that lose their home out there.
Well, talking about volcanoes, Mount St. Helens. I am the co-author of a book that just came out in paperback for the first time, Called Out But Safe, A Baseball Umpire's Journey, the story of Al Clark, who was a Major League umpire for 26 years. He saw Mount St. Helens erupt twice on the same road trip. First he flew from Minneapolis to Seattle, and that's the first time he saw it, and then they played three games there, and then he flew on to Anaheim from Seattle, and he saw it again from a different angle. It erupted again.
It's a great story. Great travel story.
And he was also the last man in uniform on the field when the earthquake interrupted the 1989 World Series.
Yeah, is that right? My brother was there. He was the marketing guy for the San Francisco Giants, and so was I. And, boy, is that a terrible thing for tourism? It basically killed tourism in California for about 5 months. People thought the earthquake destroyed our state, and it obviously didn't. Hurt San Francisco, and a number of people were killed, but it was the media always blows it up way more than it was.
Okay. How about your most embarrassing moment, Mike?
My most embarrassing moment? I'd have to think about that. I try not to do. I've had lots of embarrassing moments, right? I just one that's come to head. But I think, Dan, I'd have to think about that. I've been doing this for a long time. I enjoy travel and I enjoy what I do, and so I try to keep away from embarrassing things.
Oh, that's good to know. I mean, I've asked other people the same question. I get things like, oh, I forgot my ticket. I got to the airport, didn't know what to do. I mean, all kinds of stories like that. Or I forgot to pack something. Are there certain, I mean, you travel so much. Are there certain rules when you pack that you know exactly how to pack every time?
I do. I pack just the minimum of stuff I need, and I know that, and I rarely check a bag. But if my wife's going with me, I'm happy to have her check a bag, and she can take everything she wants, and it's just fine with me. So I've learned to basically let my wife take whatever she wants.
Okay, and you mentioned your family a couple of times. How old are your kids now?
So my son Brian's now working for CityPass. He's 30, and then I have a daughter who's a teacher in Anacostia, D.C. She's 33, and my youngest, our last, is now 25 years old. Actually, she's working for the House Committee on Foreign Affairs in New York.
Wow.
And is is writing Africa policy. Her passion is Africa, particularly the elephants there.
Oh, that's terrific. That's a great opportunity. Is there anything, Mike, that I have not asked you that you'd like to add?
No, I think you know, it's just a great time, continues to be a great time for travel, and I hope people take advantage of it and also take advantage of their paid time off. I think that's where you build the memories with your families. And so I do appreciate the work you do, though, promoting travel to all of us, and I'd certainly admire the work you've done over the years, and I'm glad I made the 288th show.
Well, I'm a big fan of CityPass as well. I appreciate the kind words, but I also want to recommend CityPass to our listeners. It's a great idea, especially covering the Muni system in San Francisco. That alone makes it worthwhile out there. It's wonderful. So I know all about the cable cars, and I try to ride them as much as I can when I get out there. So, Mike, thank you so much for being on our show. I really appreciate it. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Dan. Talk to you next time.
Okay, will do.
Bye-bye.
And listeners, don't forget, Father's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a baseball book. So try mine, The New Baseball Bible, or When the Braves Ruled the Diamond, both available from Amazon.com. The New Baseball Bible is a 424-page offbeat illustrated history of baseball. You can't go wrong. It's under $20. Great gift for Father's Day. If anybody wants signed copies, I'll be in Atlanta June 16th to sign at Posman Books at noon and then Murph's after the game at SunTrust Park, same night, June 16th. I'll also be signing at Cooperstown on July 28th. Email me for more information. My email address is ballauthor@gmail.com. That's ballauthor at gmail.com. And that's it for this edition of Travel It Radio. Join us next week, same time, same station, when guest Karen Feld tells us how to travel with a dog. Now, this is Dan Schlossberg saying thank you for your time this time. Until next time, good night.